Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Dumping Ground family. It's our favorite day of the week, Tuesday. It's your girl, Makeisha Clayton Lee, Certified Life Coach. I always start off thanking everybody, thanking the listeners for rocking with me, listening to the show every week. I just continuously, I know this sounds repetitive to you guys, but I just want to show you and tell you how much I truly appreciate you listening to these shows. These shows are archived from day one all the way up until this episode. So please take a chance and a moment to go listen to these shows and support. And leave your comments. I appreciate you leaving your comments as well. Enough about me. I created this platform to be a listening ear, a safe place where you can dump off problems and pick up solutions. You know my saying, there's greatness on the inside of each and every one of us. To get to that next level, we all need this push. So tonight, we are wrapping up this segment, Black Authors Matter. You know, my favorite quote is, do not despise small beginnings. Adding on to that, everything starts with the vision, prayer, and execution. And with those three ingredients, something small beginnings can develop into something that can blow your mind. So as you know, each week we had some amazing Black authors that came on the show. They introduced their book. They told you what they had coming down. They inspired. And tonight, I only have the most amazing, another Black queen who's here to do the exact same thing as we wrap up this session. Again, I just want to appreciate you, and I thank you, each and every one of you, for supporting and taking your time out and listening to these shows. Let's start off and listen a little bit of information about this amazing Black queen. I'll read the information of her bio. All right. She is the CEO and founder of the Mending Center, LLC. She has a strong passion for helping women who carry emotional bags from their past experiences, foster self-awareness, emotional baggage, amplify their gifts, and appreciate women that have become. Through her strong prayer life and spiritual connection with God, she herself has overcome a battle with depression and carrying emotional bags. She credits her strong spiritual beliefs as instrumental in drive and determination to walk in her purpose and live an abundant life. She is a native of Fort Pierce, Florida. She has a bachelor's degree in business and human resource from the University of Phoenix. She is the author of Shuffle the Deck, the co-author of Boss Up on Purpose, Soul for Prayer, and the founder of Tenure and Company Home Decorating Features. She has lots of talents. The Queen Collection. She currently resides in Atlanta, Georgia. Tonight, Dumping Ground family, let's give a warm welcome to Tanya Turner. Miss Tanya, can you hear me?
Hello. Yes, I can.
Yes. Thank you.
How are you
so
tonight?
Much. I am so good. How about yourself?
Great. Glad to be here.
I'm so appreciative. Again, you know, this has been such an amazing connection. Talking to you yesterday as we were going through practice, we laughed. We talked a lot of jokes. I already told you I was silly. I gave you the disclaimer, you know, beforehand. You know, you was able to see some silliness. You know, I just want you to feel comfortable and relaxed as we just kind of inspire. You're like for this segment, Black Authors Matter, you're the last but not the least. So I just kind of want to leave this segment out with a bang. So I want you to inspire and help navigate our new people who's wanting to write or stuck in a place or just need some inspiration. So that's basically what our conversation is tonight, just to kind of inspire and get some information about you and interview, get some questions and interview you to get to know you. So that's basically where we're at tonight. You good with
that? All right. Sounds great. I'm good with that.
So you are from Florida. Yes.
Yes.
How long have you been in Atlanta?
I've been in Atlanta this time for 7 years. And this is my third time residing in Atlanta. Yeah, I relocated to Atlanta after I finished high school, and I came here to Morris Brown College.
Ooh, Morris Brown. That's pretty exciting.
Yes.
That's pretty exciting. So what inspired you to write your book, Shuffle the Deck? Because that right there is a strong title, right? Like,
think about it.
We always feel like these are the cards that I was dealt, right?
But right.
When you told me that yesterday, it kind of shifted my mindset. Like, dude, just because you was handed this deck doesn't mean you can't shuffle and realign yourself, girl. That it just took me some places when I got real excited. You see the excitement in my voice? I got real excited, girl.
yes. And it is exciting. It's exciting whenever you have reshuffled, rearranged, and realigned. And that comes with knowing who you are, whose you are, and why you were created. So I was inspired by helping other women, women who have been through the storm of life challenges, women who have gone over and beyond and feel that they were not given the opportunity that they needed to achieve the goals they wanted to achieve, women who just give so much to other people that they don't give enough to themselves. And, you know, what I come to realize writing this book is so many of us women, especially in the ages of 40s and 50s, we live behind a mask, the mask of not knowing who we are. And so I reshuffled my deck, and it took me, you know, I wrote that book when I was 50 years old, coming up on 50 years old. And that's when I just found out who I was, why I was created, and what was my purpose on life. So it's never too late. Never too late. I'm just getting started.
Girl, 50, you know, 50 is Jubilee. So that's a celebratory moment in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's amazing that you know, you're saying that, because I know some 50-year-olds, and they need that fuel that you just mentioned, right? Because just because you're at 50 doesn't mean your purpose has stopped, right? Your purpose can still prevail, and you can still leave that trail blazing. And I see that you, because that title, girl, I'm telling you, that thing
yeah.
is good. That title is, whew, that's a powerful title.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
So tell me a little bit about the book. Like, is it like, okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. The book is actually just a snapshot. It's not just. I shouldn't say just snapshot. It is a snapshot of my life. I share in the book things that I went through, how I grew up. And here's the thing, what I learned over the years and while I was writing this book, is that I always pictured myself of growing up in poverty. And what I learned through my inner healing is that it wasn't that I was in poverty, because I didn't want for anything. I had food, I had clothes, you know, I went to school like everybody else. So I wasn't living in poverty. I had a poverty mindset because of the cards I was dealt.
That's good.
Yeah. So I talk about how I grew up feeling unloved, unwanted, because I was not raised by my mother or my father. I was a ward of the court. And I was raised by my grandmother, and when she passed away, I went to live with my great-grandmother. So I grew up feeling unloved, unwanted, not beautiful, all of the above, because I couldn't understand why wouldn't a woman want her child. I couldn't understand why wouldn't a dad want to be in his little girl's life. And because of that, I was carrying the baggage of insecurity, rejection. And then, of course, I had become depressed over the years, because when I tried to find love, I was going about it the wrong way. So I got in circumstances and things that I shouldn't have been in. But God, and that's what I love about it, God saw fit to still see me through. And that's what I talk about in the book. No matter what we've been through, we have the power within us to reshuffle the deck and live the life that we want to live.
So you start off, you said mindset. So like me personally too, I came from you know, I'm born and raised in Mississippi, and I came from a single parent home, and my mom, she worked hard. She was a hard worker, right? And she instilled that in all of her children. Like, all of us are workaholics. Like, we have perfectionist problem. We have a workaholic problem. Like, every last one of us, right? We will work ourselves to the bone because we understand the, we understood the struggle, and none of us want to go back to that. You know what I'm saying? So, but you're right. It has to start in your mind, like your mind, to change that poverty mindset. That's the key. You shifting your mind to know that, hey, you don't have to be in this situation. That's part of you, like you're saying, reshuffling, realigning, girl. That's something right there, girl. And rejection, I think as women, rejection is the word. To me, we don't do well with rejection as a woman. And I think that's just, that builds up the insecurity. That fuels the insecurity of the rejections. And then you try to overdo it then, you know what I'm saying? Because now you got to show people that you're not really insecure, but you overkill, and people looking at you like, you're insecure because you're hashtag doing too much. You know what I'm saying? That is too funny.
One of the things that you spoke about is like working a lot. And when I went through a lot of the depression areas that I went through, and then I went through things of my personal, with my personal health, I turned to becoming a workaholic. And that was my way of soothing and hiding the pain and pressing it down. And I relocated back to Atlanta. I'm in a city that I hadn't been in a while, so nobody knows me. So I just work, and go home, you know. That is not good either. You have to have a balance. So I had to learn how to balance that. And first of all, I couldn't balance anything until I forgave the people that I was holding grudges with, and that was my mother and my father. I had to forgive my mother from her grave. I did that, and then I forgave my father. But you know what? The biggest person I had to forgive was myself. I had to forgive myself.
That is so amazing. Like all these most of the interviews I've been having about our amazing Black Queen authors, that's been the key point. Forgiveness to yourself, forgiveness to others, because again, forgiveness is you drinking poison and you waiting for the next person to die. You're the one who internalizing and dying. So that is a major part of, like you said, with the baggage, emotional baggage, with the rejection, the insecure, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, all of those, you know, you have to lay down those baggage. And that is good. Oh, funny.
Think about it, like when you going through an airport and you're in the airport and you carrying your baggage. By the time you get there, I'm just going to use gate G. Row 10, by the time you get there from checking in, you're tired. You're burnt out. You can't even talk. You're just going to throw the bags down and sit down. And you're no good for no one, not even yourself. You can't even get up to go to the restroom or go to get you something to eat to fuel your body because you're so tired.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with unforgiveness. Unforgiveness wears us down. It weighs us down. And I love that the scenario that you just gave, and I love to give a scenario. When you don't forgive, you allow the person that you're having the grudge against to live in your mind, rent-free, and you're sitting there depressed. I'm going to speak for myself. I was depressed, overweight, overeating, indulging, having all kind of – I was having a high blood pressure. I was diagnosed with Graves' disease, all of the above. By the person who I was not – the person who I was blaming and holding a grudge against, they were living fine. My father, he was married. He was living in a house with his kids. He was blessed. He's a pastor of a church. He was having a happy life. So I decided, and I had to look at myself and say, why am I holding this grudge against him? I want to be happy. So I have to forgive him so I can be free. And that's how my mindset changed.
That's good, girl. You, I tell people, you in that vein, you know, that good vein, when they about to get, when you about to get that up because your blood, and they get in that good, they get in that good vein, that blood just start flowing, gushing out, like, you be like, girl, you in the right vein now, girl. So basically, what did you ultimately learn when you wrote this book? Like, what did you, like, did you overcome this prior to, or as you were writing, you were overcoming all of these issues that you were dealing with?
I learned that we always have to keep doing the work. I thought I was healed before I started writing the book, to be honest. But then once I got into the book, in certain sections of the book, I realized that there was still work to do. And because, you know, no matter what, you still have a little residue.
Yeah.
And that residue, you have to stay, you have to stay in a place where you're able to heal, you know, heal. So those triggers, what I call triggers, those things that make you get angry again, those things that take you back where you start thinking about why you should not have forgiven them in the first place, or what are they doing to hurt you now, all of that stuff. And I realized all of that was just garbage. That was the baggage. That's what I had to get rid of. And while I was writing the book, there were points that I realized, Tanya, no matter how much you forgive, no matter how much you do your work, it's consistent. You have to be consistent with it. I consistently get up in the morning giving God gratitude. I consistently thank God for healing my body. I consistently thank God for giving me a new day. Consistency is key. So even though you go through your healing, you still have to be consistent in those tools that you use to get there.
That's good.
And that's what I learned when I was writing the
book. Consistent thing that we do. I think I said a couple of episodes ago, we were talking about relationships. If you think about how we do God, how we do our relationships with people, and you reflect that on how we treat God, do you actually think God is pleased? Like, if you don't call your friend, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're a bad friend, you know what I'm saying, to a man, you know, then you reflect them same qualities to God, you know what I'm saying? Like, is God really pleased? And, you know what I'm saying? Like, would he really want to be your friend? Like, with the way you do stuff, like, would he really want it? You know what I'm saying? So you have to really be consistent and, like you said, intentional about everything now. Like, literally, you have to be intentional.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have snatch grabbers in the morning, like like me. You want to pick up that phone and grab before you say, Lord, I thank you for another day. You have those time snatchers. That's it. That's what I'm talking about. Those time snatchers that just be trying to snatch your time and don't produce anything, like Instagram. You know, you can use Instagram and have moderation with it, but sometimes Instagram will snatch you, and you've been spent a whole hour on Instagram.
That's true.
So are you balancing that hour out in prayer or spending time with God? Then you want to do 5 minutes. I'm speaking about myself. You know what I'm saying? I'm putting myself out there on Front Street. Can't talk about nobody else but myself. You know what I'm saying?
But it's true.
So you want to do 5 minutes. 5 minute devotional in the morning.
Yeah, that's where get that song in.
Girl. Oh my God.
It make you feel a little better to get that praise and worship in just a little bit.
You know what I'm saying? I got to get that 5 minute, you know, that 5 minute devotion, but I got to check to see if people really tuning in. They're going to look at my show. Like, girl, bye. Get your focus together. Some time snatchers. So I really have to learn how to balance that, and like you said, workaholic too can be a coping mechanism for things that you're not dealing with, right? Because you don't want to deal with certain situations in your life, and you just work because thinking that's going to shelve it, you know, or sweep it under the rug, you know what I'm saying? So that reshuffling the deck. So what's the first two chapters titles? What's your first two chapters titles?
The first chapter, well, what I have is rolled out like a deck of cards, and we're going to play we're going to the for the royal flush. So I have it broken up in cards. So like your queen of hearts, king of hearts, everything is at the heart, because the heart is what holds. That's your soul. That's what holds everything.
Oh yeah.
That holds your emotions. You know. So we got to deal with the heart. And so the first thing we have to do is self-awareness. And so that's the first chapter. We got to get to know who we are. And that's the hardest chapter, to be honest, because nobody wants to really go inside and dig deep. We have this persona, especially with social media, the way it is today. We have the persona of, I have to present myself a certain way. I want people to think I'm living this kind of life. You know, all that kind of stuff. But you really got to get deep down and say, this is what I need to deal with. I have to face that ugliness, and I have to deal with it, because at the end of the day, you are who you are. And that's what I had to learn. I went through so many years of trying to be somebody else instead of being myself and appreciating myself for who I am. It is what it is. I am Tanya M. Turner, and I can't change it. I'm not trying to be nobody else. It is what it is. And once you get that in your mind, then you're open for the healing. And the second chapter was forgiveness. You have to forgive. Because, and you know, you brought up a point about God, and I thought about how many times has God forgiven me in these 50 years? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Who am I not to forgive someone? And he has given me so many opportunities over and over and over. I love to forgive people now. I do. Honey, I forgive you. Just because I forgive you don't mean you have to be in my life. Because what true forgiveness is allowing the person, you wishing something good for the person who hurt you. So I want you to go and live a good life. I forgive you. You know, those are the things that we have to learn, and those are the things we have to come face to face with. And when we do, that's when we learn to appreciate ourselves. So after I became, after I had self-awareness and after I forgave, then I learned to spend time with myself and my spirit. So I had to rearrange my spiritual walk with God. And when I say rearrange, because what I was brought up in was just religion. But now I can spend time with him for real. You know, so, and once I learned that, that was the door opening. And that allowed me to see my gifts and what God wanted me to do to walk in my purpose. And then once I was able to do that, then I started having the visions, the goals, and the dreams. And then, you know, God would just roll. And then, you know, one of the big things I've learned since I went through my healing, God has started adding people in my life who I never would thought would walk into my life. And everybody who he's added in my life since I wrote that book, I tell you no lie, they have been able to help me go from one level to the next, one level to the next.
Oh, that's good.
And so I know that that's nothing but God, and I thank God for them. Whether they're still in my life or not, I thank God for the moment that they stepped foot in my life and what they was able to help me to achieve so I can go to the next level.
That's good, girl. So how long did it take you to write the book? Did you have a deadline? Did you use a publisher? Were you self-published?
No. You wouldn't believe this and when I tell you. I have been writing this book for years. And it wasn't, I'm going to be writing the book. It was just notes. Like I would, you know, just God would just give me things and I would just write them down. And when I got ready to write the book, I went and pulled out about 10 notebooks. And I pulled different things out of the notebooks, and that's how I was able to formulate the book itself. But God gave me the title one day. I was sitting at the table with a friend of mine talking. And we were talking. I said, reshuffle the deck. And we both looked at each other, and I was like, oh, my God, that's the title of my book. Let me write it down.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's how the title, because that's how God do, you know. And so that's how he gave me that vision. But I'm going to tell you this real quick because it was published.
Yes.
It was published by Love Sync Alliance right here in Atlanta. I was home one day and I went on social media. One of my coworkers, she sent me a link. And she said, hey, you live in, because at the time I was living in Auburn. She said, you live in Auburn, right? I said, yeah. She said, they having where they're going to be a publishing night and the publisher's giving away a free publishing contract for you to win, to become an author, and they're going to publish everything for you for free. And I was like, for real?
What?
She was like, yes. So I said, okay, I'll go. And I signed up to go. It was free of charge. And but to be entered into the raffle, you had to pay $30. I think it was $30. And I was like, okay, I'll pay the $30 because I want, if I'm going, I want to be able to win the contract. And so the day of, my daughter wasn't feeling well, so she didn't want to go. Then I had another friend that I had met. I had invited her to go with me. She pulled out, and I was like home by myself, and I was like, I'm not going. And I was walked from my bedroom to my bathroom, and the spirit spoke to me and said, you need to put your clothes on and go because you're going to win.
Oh.
At the last minute, I put my clothes on, and I rolled up there, and I went into the venue. I didn't know anyone, not one person. That's how much I was listening to God's voice. He was ordering my steps. I didn't know anyone. I went in, I bought the ticket and put my name in the raffle, and they started giving other things away all night. They was giving things away, and I sat there in that venue until the very end because I knew that I was going to win that raffle, and I won. When they called my name, I jumped up. I said, this is what I came here for.
That is, oh my God, Tanya, that is freaking amazing, girl.
Yes.
Oh my
yes.
goodness.
And that's how I reshuffle the deck with me.
So how can we get the book? Is it on your website? Is it on Amazon? How can people buy the book?
It is on Amazon, but it's also on my website, TanyaMTurner.com. And it's also on themendingcenter.com. So you can go on either one of those websites or on Amazon. But I think if you go on Amazon, it's sold out. They probably have to send it to the publisher to get the book. So it may be like
what?
On back order. Mm-hmm.
Girl, you ain't playing on back order. That's it, baby. Woo! Get it.
And thank God, because after that, I did have another book. So now I'm a best-selling author with the book Collaboration of Soul for Prayers. So that book became a bestseller. So, yes, thank God. So that's what I'm saying. I didn't start writing, becoming an author until I was 50 years old. I'm 52, and I have 3 books and one, and I'm a bestselling author.
Girl, that is...
So I want whoever is listening to my voice to know that if God did it for me, he can do it for them.
Girl, that Tanya, thank you so much, sweetie. You, like I said, you have really inspired me, because you know sometimes you think that I missed the prime, mm-hmm. you know, because most we were taught you work hard when you're younger, so when you get my age,
right.
you can just coast, right? And
right,
then
right.
when you get here and you feel like you're not have accomplished those dreams that you saw when you were younger, you're like, what did I miss? What's going on? Why am I not where I seen myself when I was 20 or 30? You know what I'm saying? So,
mm-hmm.
but just hearing your story and saying, hey, 50 is where my jubilee started, and now I'm living my purpose. I'm walking in
yes.
my purpose, and God is divinely ordering my steps. That's
yes.
like fuel. You know what I'm saying? Because
yes.
he's not a respectable person. If he do
there
it, like
you
said,
mm-hmm.
if he did it for you, then I'm like, okay, God. So you do.
All
we
got to do is believe.
For my life. That's it.
That's
it.
Right.
That was my girl. You. So tonight, Miss Tanya, I thank you so
yes.
much for blessing the dumping ground. You
thank
are
you.
Amazing. I wish you and pray nothing but success for all your books.
Thank
congratulations
you.
On your best-selling award. Because I think I saw,
yes,
is you. That what you post? That's what you post yesterday, right? Is that the award
you
posted?
Oh, no, that was
something?
An article.
Okay.
That was an article that I just did for Atlanta Voyage. They did a shout-out series. So that was the article that was posted. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Okay. You in the game. I'm so proud of you, and I wish you
thank
nothing
you.
But success. Continue to keep blazing and trailblazing
thank you,
just keep being obedient and walking in your purpose. And I know we're going to continue to link. I'm on, you know, you got my social
yes.
media, I got yours, I got your number. We're just going to keep supporting each other, because this is what it's
yes.
about, making sure that
that's right.
We support each other and lift each other up and hold each other crown,
yes,
because we are truly divine queens. So thank
yes.
you so much for
thank
tonight.
You.
And I'm sure we will talk again, sweetie, okay?
We will, and I appreciate you and all that you do. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Miss Tanya. It was great talking to you tonight.
Nice talking to you as well.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, you heard it. This was our last segment of the Dumping Ground of Black Authors Matter. So, as you can see, we have several amazing Black authors who came on the show and talked about their books. They talked about where you could purchase their book. They're inspiring you to go for it. And as you notice, each author was talking about journaling, writing down stuff that they're going through with their emotions, what they hear, and it became a book. So if you're trying to be that author or just need an outlet, start journaling, writing your emotions down, or to so you can have a way out. So it can heal you and help you and be something that can, years from later, you can come back and read and see that if God brought you through that situation, he will continue to bring you through. It's like evidence. So I appreciate every author who is on this show for September to October. Next month, we're starting a brand new series. It's called Ladies, What's on Your Mind? I have amazing guest panelists that will be on the show. And we're going to be starting November the 10th because November the 3rd, I want you to go out and vote. And so we're not going to have a show on November the 3rd. So we're continuing this show on November the 10th with some amazing panelists, some more queens. We'll have discussions on relationships. So until next time, Dumping Ground family, have a blessed night.